فلما قضى موسى الأجل وسار بأهله آنس من جانب الطور نارا قال لأهلهم كثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بخبر أو جذوة من النار لعلكم تصطلون.
When Moses, peace be upon him, had fulfilled the term and was journeying with his family, he perceived a fire in the direction of the Mount Sinai. He said to his family, "Wait here, I have observed a fire. Maybe I will bring to you some news or a brand of fire from there that you may warm yourselves." When Moses, peace be upon him, had fulfilled the term,
Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib says, Moses, peace be upon him, completed 10 instead of 8 years. And Abdullah ibn Abbas says that according to the Prophet, peace be upon him, Moses, peace be upon him, completed the longer of the two terms and the one that was more agreeable to his father-in-law.
And was journeying with his family. He perceived a fire.
Since the direction of the journey was towards Mount Sinai, which lies on the road to Egypt from Midian, it seems that Moses, peace be upon him, wanted to return to Egypt. He may have thought that after these 10 years, the Pharaoh, from whom he had fled, would already be dead. So, if he went back to his family quietly, no one would know about it. The sequence of events in the biblical account differs totally from that in the Quranic account. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed." Exodus 3:1-2. The biblical account goes on to state that after appointing him as a prophet, God spoke to Moses and asked him to go to Egypt. Then Moses, peace be upon him, took leave of his father-in-law and went to Egypt with his family. See Exodus 4:18. On the contrary, the Quran says that Moses, peace be upon him, completed his term and then left Midian with his family, and it was during this journey that God spoke to him and appointed him as his prophet. Both the Bible and the Talmud state that during Moses' stay in Midian, the Pharaoh in whose palace Moses, peace be upon him, had been raised, had died, and a different Pharaoh now ruled over Egypt.
فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ مِنْ شَاطِئِ الْوَادِ الْأَيْمَنِ فِي الْبُقَعَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ أَيْ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي أَنَا اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
But when he came to the fire, a cry was heard from the right bank of the valley, from a tree in the hallowed ground. "O Moses, verily I am Allah, the Lord of all creatures of the universe." But when he came to the fire, a cry was heard from the right bank of
the side of the valley, which was to Moses' right hand.
Bank of the valley, from a tree in the hallowed ground.
Hallowed ground, that is, the land which was luminous with divine light.
وَأَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌّ وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ يَا مُوسَى أَقْبِلْ وَلَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ.
He received the command, "Throw away your rod." But when he saw the rod writhing as though it were a serpent, he turned back in retreat and did not even look behind. He was told, "O Moses, peace be upon him, go ahead and have no fear. You are perfectly secure."
أسلك يدك في جيبك تخرج بيضاء من غير سوء تخرج بيضاء من غير سوء واضمم إليك جناحك من الرهب فَذَلِكَ بُرْهَانَانِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ.
Put your hand into your bosom, and it will come out shining without any blemish. And draw your hand close to your body to still your fear. Those are the two clear signs from your Lord for Pharaoh and his chiefs, for truly they are a disobedient people. Put your hand into your bosom, and it will come out shining without any blemish.
Moses was exposed to these two miracles in order to convince him that it was indeed the Lord of the universe who had spoken to him. Another purpose in exposing Moses, peace be upon him, to these miracles was to assure him that if he was being sent by God on a difficult and dangerous mission to Pharaoh, he would not be left to his own strength to face this might. Instead, he would be fully armed with the two miracles mentioned here.
And draw your hand close to your body to still your fear.
If Moses, peace be upon him, was ever confronted with a truly dangerous situation, all he had to do was to fold back his arm into himself. This would strengthen his heart and release him from fear. Arm probably means the right arm, because when the word hand is used without qualifying it, it means the right hand. Now, the arm can be folded back in two ways, by aligning the arm with the side of the body and by putting the hand of one arm under the armpit of the other. Perhaps here it is the former that is meant, because this would not indicate to anyone else that the person's action was intended to overcome his fear. Moses, peace be upon him, was so instructed because he was being sent against a tyrant with neither an army or any other material resources to support his case. He was going to have to face situations in which even a courageous prophet might not remain totally immune from fear and perturbation. God instructed Moses, peace be upon him, to have recourse to this action on such fearful occasions. In this way, Pharaoh would not be able to weaken his heart, not even with all his power.
Those are the two clear signs from your Lord for Pharaoh and his chiefs, for truly they are a disobedient people.
These words used here suggest that Moses, peace be upon him, must go to Pharaoh with these miraculous signs and to present himself as the messenger of God. He was to call Pharaoh and his nobles to the service and obedience of the Lord of the universe. Hence, why Moses' appointment is not specified here. It was, however, detailed in another verse. And go to Pharaoh now, for he has transgressed all bounds. Taha 20:24 and Al-Naziat 79:17. It was also stated elsewhere that, when your Lord called Moses, peace be upon him, go to the wrongdoing people, the people of Pharaoh. Al-Shu'ara 26:10-11.
قال رب إني قتلت منهم نفسا فأخاف أن يقتلون.
Moses, peace be upon him, said, My Lord, I have killed one person from among them, and I fear that they will kill me. Moses, peace be upon him, said, My Lord, I have killed one person from among them, and I fear that they will kill me.
This does not mean that Moses, peace be upon him, was hesitant out of fear. Rather, it means that he asked God to make the necessary arrangements so that the Pharaohites would not arrest him on a murder charge immediately upon his arrival, and before he had spoken to them about his prophethood. For, if that were to happen, his mission would remain unaccomplished. The subsequent verses clearly indicate that Moses did not want to refuse the office of prophethood, nor did fear cause him to decline undertaking his mission.
وَأَخِي هَارُونُ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِي يرد أن يصدقني إني أخاف أن يكذبون.
My brother Aaron, peace be upon him, is more eloquent in speech than I. So send him with me as a helper to confirm my truthfulness, for I fear that they will reject me as a liar.
قال سنشد عضدك بأخيك ونجعل لكما سلطانا فلا يصلون إليكما بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْتُمَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَا الْغَالِبُونَ
He said, We will certainly strengthen you through your brother and will invest both of you with such power that they shall not be able to hurt you. With the help of our signs, the two of you and your followers will prevail. He said, We will certainly strengthen you through your brother and will invest both of you with such power that they shall not be able to hurt you. With the help of our signs, the two of you and your followers will prevail.
This encounter between the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and God is described in greater detail in Surah Taha, see verses 9 to 48. Anyone who compares this Quranic account with the biblical version given in Exodus 3 and 4 can see for himself which of the two books is from God and which is a set of stories narrated by human beings. Further, he can also ascertain whether the Quranic account is merely a plagiarization of the biblical and Israeli traditions, as alleged by some scholars, or whether it is God himself who narrates this incident. The same God who summoned Moses, peace be upon him, and had honored him with a unique personal encounter.
فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالُوا مَا هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ وَمَا سَمِعْنَا بِهَذَا فِي آبَائِنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ
But when Moses, peace be upon him, came to them with our clear signs, they said, This is nothing but a magic that has been contrived. We'd never heard anything like it from our ancestors of yore. But when Moses, peace be upon him, came to them with our clear signs, they said, This is nothing but a magic that has been contrived.
Sihrun muftara means fabricated or forged magic. Taken in the sense of a lie, it would mean that in Pharaoh's view, the staff changing into a serpent and the shining hand were not real transformations, but merely illusions which Moses, peace be upon him, tried to pass off as miracles. If the expression is taken to denote a forgery, it would mean that Moses, peace be upon him, had somehow contrived to make a thing which looked like a staff move around like a serpent when thrown to the ground, and that Moses, peace be upon him, had rubbed something on his hand so that when he took it out of his armpit, it was radiant. According to Pharaoh, all that Moses had done was to contrive some magical tricks, which he then presented as miracles from God.
We'd never heard anything like it from our ancestors of yore.
This refers to the teachings of Moses, peace be upon him, which formed part of his prophetic message. The Quran gives details of these in other surahs. Surah Al-Naziat mentions Moses, peace be upon him, as saying, Are you ready to adopt the purified way? Would you have fear of Allah if I guided you to him? 79:18-19. And in Surah Taha, the Quran states, We have come to you with a sign from your Lord, and peace shall be for him who follows the true guidance. It has been revealed to us that chastisement awaits those who called the lie to the truth and turned away from it. 20:47-8. Elsewhere, the Quran mentions that Moses, peace be upon him, made the following statement. The Lord of the universe has sent us that you let the children of Israel go with us. Al-Shu'ara 26:16-17. It was about these teachings that Pharaoh, in effect, said, Even our forefathers had not heard that there is any being above the Pharaoh of Egypt who can command him and punish him, or send someone to his court with any direction and who would urge the king to fear that being. These are strange things that we hear from the tongue of this person.
وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْهُدَى مِنْ عِنْدِهِ وَمَنْ تَكُونُ لَهُ عَاقِبَةُ الدَّارِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ
Moses, peace be upon him, replied, My Lord knows best who comes with guidance from him. And also whose end will be the best in the hereafter. As for the wrongdoers, they shall not prosper. Moses, peace be upon him, replied, My Lord knows best who comes with guidance from him, and also whose end will be the best in the hereafter. As for the wrongdoers, they shall not prosper.
Moses, peace be upon him, countered Pharaoh's accusation of his being a magician and of forging lies by pointing out that everything about Moses, peace be upon him, was already known, and that it was clear what kind of person God had appointed as his messenger. And the ultimate judgment in any case lay with him. Moses, peace be upon him, contended that if he was a liar, he would meet an evil end. And if Pharaoh was lying, then his end too would be an evil one. One thing, however, was absolutely clear. A wicked person never meets with true success. A person who is not a messenger of God, but who pretends to be so in order to gain material advantages, is engulfed in injustice and iniquity and will not meet with true success. In like manner, whoever accuses a true messenger of God of being a liar, and whoever has recourse to deceptive means to suppress the truth, is also guilty of injustice and iniquity and will never meet with true success.
وقال فرعون يا أيها الملأ ما علمت لكم من إله غيري فأوقد لي يا هامان على الطين فاجعل لي صرحا لعلي أطلع إلى إله موسى وإني لأظنه من الكاذبين.
Pharaoh said, O nobles, I do not know that you have any god beside myself. Haman, bake bricks out of clay and build a lofty palace for me so that I may mount up and be able to observe the God of Moses, peace be upon him, even though I believe that Moses, peace be upon him, is a liar. Pharaoh said, O nobles, I do not know that you have any god beside myself.
By saying so, Pharaoh obviously did not mean that he was their creator and the creator of the heavens and the earth, for obviously only a lunatic would make such a claim. Nor did it mean that they worshipped no other god beside Pharaoh, because it was well known that the Egyptians worshipped many gods and that Pharaoh himself had been raised to the status of godhead in his capacity as the incarnation of Ra, the sun god. The Quran itself provides a definite testimony in this regard, for it mentions that Pharaoh worshipped many gods. The elders of Pharaoh's people said, Will you leave alone Moses and his people to spread mischief in the land and forsake you and your gods? Pharaoh replied, We will kill their male children and spare their female ones, for indeed we hold irresistible sway over them. Al-A'raf 7:127. Hence, the word God used here by Pharaoh for himself was not so as to claim that he was their creator and their sole object of worship. He rather used this word in the sense that he was the Lord and Master of Egypt where his command was executed, where he was considered to have full authority, and where people considered themselves bound to obey him, where he was the absolute sovereign whose orders were carried out, and where he was in a position to decide what was good and what was evil, and where no one else had the authority to issue any command. In this context, Pharaoh wondered what the locus standi of Moses, peace be upon him, was. This was a man who claimed to be the messenger of the Lord of the universe, and who addressed him as though he, Moses, peace be upon him, was the real sovereign, and he, Pharaoh, was his subject. This is why, addressing his courtiers, Pharaoh said, O my people, is not the dominion of Egypt mine, and are these rivers not flowing underneath me? Al-Zukhruf 43:51. It is again for this very reason that Pharaoh repeatedly said to Moses, peace be upon him, Have you come to turn us away from the way of our forefathers, that the two of you might become the supreme in the land? We shall never accept what the two of you say. Yunus 10:78. Have you come to drive us out of our land by your sorcery? Taha 20:57. And, I am afraid that he will change your religion or will cause mischief to appear in the land. Al-Mu'min 40:26. Pharaoh's position was no different from the stand taken by those states which claim political and legal sovereignty independent of the divine law brought by the prophets. Their position remains the same, regardless of whether they recognize a king or the collective will of a nation as the source of law, as the authority entitled to determine the do's and don'ts. As long as they adhere to the standpoint that it is their own law rather than the law of God and His messenger that prevails, their position is no different from that of Pharaoh's. It is, however, quite another matter that ignorant people curse Pharaoh while legitimizing the authority of those who rule independently of God's guidance. Those who know the truth will not merely consider the words, but will take into account the meaning and the spirit. It makes no difference that Pharaoh used the word Ilah for himself, whereas these states use the term sovereignty to denote the same thing.
Haman, big bricks out of clay, and build a lofty palace for me, so that I may mount up and be able to observe the God of Moses, peace be upon him, even though I believe that Moses, peace be upon him, is a liar.
This mindset is similar to that of the communists of the former Soviet Union. They launched Sputniks and Lunoks and then glibly claimed that their spaceships had found no God up there in the sky. Obviously, that silly cosmonaut wanted to peep at God from a high tower? This only shows that the reasoning of ignorant people has not changed over the last 3,500 years. What idiocy to believe that God is sitting somewhere up there in the sky waiting to be observed by anyone who can soar high enough. What idiocy to believe that if He cannot be so found, this is proof enough that He does not exist. The Quran does not say that Pharaoh had constructed such a tower and that he climbed it to see God. The Quran simply quotes what Pharaoh said, and whereby it would appear that he was merely trying to fool people by such specious talk. It is also not clear whether Pharaoh was an atheist or whether he was merely saying things in a mood of blasphemous impertinence. His words exhibit the same confused state of mind as one finds among former Soviet communists. At times, Pharaoh talked about giving up to the sky to see for himself that he would tell people that he could not find Moses' God there. At other times, he said that had Moses, peace be upon him, been sent by God, then why were not bracelets of gold sent down on him? Or why do not angels accompany him as attendants? Al-Zukhruf 43:53. This is not much different from what Khrushchev, a former prime minister of Russia, used to say. Sometimes he would deny the existence of God, at other times he would repeatedly mention his name, sometimes even swearing by him. In our opinion, after the prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, and his successor's time, when the Copts obtained power in Egypt and Coptic nationalism gained strength, a political revolution inspired by racist and nationalistic feelings took place. Under the influence of this revolution, the new leaders even rebelled against the one true God in whom the prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, and his followers, both Israelite and Egyptian Muslims, believed and in whom they invited others to believe. The Copts thought that they could not remain immune from the influence of the culture promoted by Joseph, peace be upon him, and that if that culture remained intact, their political authority would be threatened. They were of the opinion that there was a direct nexus between belief in God and Muslim political power. Hence, they were compelled to deny God's existence, even though it was extremely difficult for them to purge their hearts of the conviction that God exists.
واستكبر هو وجنوده في الأرض بغير الحق وظنوا أنهم إلينا لا يرجعون.
And he and his hosts waxed arrogant in the land without any right, believing that they will never have to return to us. And he and his hosts waxed arrogant.
True greatness is only for God, the Lord of the universe. But Pharaoh and his armed forces considered themselves to be invested with greatness just because they had acquired a little dominion over a small piece of land.
Believing that they will never have to return to us.
They thought that they were not answerable to anyone. Acting upon this assumption, they behaved as though they were absolutely free to do whatever they pleased.
فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ.
Eventually, we seized him and his hosts, and we flung them into the sea. So do see the end of the wrongdoers. Eventually, we seized him and his hosts, and we flung them into the sea.
In these words, God depicts their worthlessness and insignificance. They thought they were big, But when the respite granted by God to men themselves ended, they were thrown into the sea like rubbish.
وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يُنصَرُونَ.
And we made them leaders who invite people to the fire. On the day of judgment, they shall not find help from any quarter. And we made them leaders who invite people to the fire.
They left behind a precedent of how one can perpetrate injustice, how one can obstinately persist in denying the truth, clinging to their posture till the very end. Having led others to this terrible path, they had disappeared from the scene to face their woeful destiny, their weapons in opposition to the truth of no avail to them. Their successors, however, still followed in their footsteps, speedily heading towards the same dire end.
وَأَتْبَعْنَاهُمْ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا لَعْنَةً وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هُمْ مِنَ الْمَقْبُوحِينَ.
We have made a curse to pursue them in this world, and on the day of judgment they shall be among the despised. We have made a curse to pursue them in this world, and on the day of judgment they shall be among the despised.
The words of the text say that on the day of resurrection, they will be among the makbuhin. This expression contains several meanings. A. That they will stand rejected and repudiated. B. That they will be deprived of God's mercy. And C. That they will be reduced to a grotesque shape, their faces becoming severely distorted.